Well, I haven't been with you, but I know the Lord has been. Wednesday night, I went out to sit on the swing for a moment, really just to get a little bit of fresh air. And I looked over in this direction. I think it was like between 7:30 and 7:45. And I saw angels coming in from, I mean from everywhere. Swords flashing. I couldn't see what they were fighting. All I saw was what they were doing. Praise the Lord. It was beautiful. I forgot what I saw last night. I was going to tell you about last night too. But I forgot. Can you hear me okay? He's probably trying to figure out now how he's going to do this. Someday I'll learn how to project my voice. God is good. God is so good. I very much want the church to be taught what it needs to be taught. I very much want the ministry of the prophet to be fully released in the church. Because when the prophet is ministering under the fullness of the prophetic mantle, that can break yokes. Powerful, powerful yokes. So sometimes Jesus taught, and sometimes Jesus preached. I think he preached when he knew that the people needed that anointing to break yokes so that they could see and so that they could hear. What good does it do to teach if those you're speaking to cannot see and cannot hear? Some say, oh, we can see, we can hear. But I'm not talking about naturally. I'm talking about speaking the higher truths and knowing that your listeners can understand what you're speaking. I taught here one night, and I thought everyone understood perfectly what I was saying. And I asked some of my colleagues what they heard and how they understood it, and they didn't understand it at all. So I thought, boy, if they don't understand it, they who have sat under my teachings, you know, bound up in chains, sitting under my teachings for so long. If they didn't understand it, how did you guys understand it? So sometimes we need a greater release of the mantle to break the veil over our eyes and to clean out our ears, so that we can hear the higher things. And I believe that's coming. There was a woman alive, now I can't remember her name. Claire, but not Lasher. Claire. Her ministry was very popular, if I remember correctly, like in the 50s and 60s. She was considered to be a teacher's teacher. And when she'd get in the pulpit, because of her prayer life, God had revealed to her so, so many awesome truths. So teachers would come, you know, from near and far to listen to this woman teach because of the greatness of the truths that she understood out of the Word, truths that no one else was teaching, yet when you heard her words, you knew that this is what the Bible really meant. She was way ahead of her time. That's why no one else taught what she taught. She was so far ahead of her time. I don't think much is being taught even today of the things that she taught way back then. She was so far ahead of her time. But God is bringing the church up so that we can behold him. Amen. Are you sure you're glad about that? God's bringing you up so you can behold the Lord. You guys must have been taking too many lessons from Dr. Chuck. Well, praise the Lord. I should quit talking, but then someone else would have to give the message. Aren't you glad we're together tonight? I am. Boy, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, I didn't know I was going to be here. God just suddenly intervened. He's a good God, isn't he? We've been talking about the apocalyptic horses. And I shared with you a little bit about the white horse. The Bible says, whose rider carried a bow and a crown was given him, and he rode forth conquering and to conquer. I think at one time, you know, the church might have believed that maybe that was the Lord, Jesus, but I think since that time we've come to understand that that is one aspect of the Antichrist. And indeed, he will come forth conquering and to conquer in peace. We'll all know when he arises out of obscurity, because it will occur, as probably all of you already know, it will occur out of chaos due to war. And his arrival on the scene will be to bring order out of chaos. Isn't that ever so kind of him? Never will he tell a living soul he's the one that created the chaos, and that he's been working behind the scenes ever so many years to bring it about at a very special moment in time. He will come forth as a man of peace. We've seen all of these horses before. They're appearing in the future. It will not be their first time to appear. We've seen them before. We saw this horse represented in, for instance, Constantine, way back in the early days of the church. What Constantine represented then is a sort of image of what we're looking at today, until darkness came. And the darkness was so great that it took many years to overturn the billowing clouds that were coming out of the camp. Years of intercession by many. Years of pleadings by the dying. Years of innocent blood crying out to the Lord. Years of innocent blood crying out to the Lord. It took all of these, heaven crying out, the saints on earth crying out, the innocent being martyred crying out. It took years, even of those who were neither saved nor martyred, just good people crying out, why, if there is a God, is this happening? If there is a God, make it stop. The chorus of voices went into the heavens. It took years to overturn this intense darkness. So great was the darkness that people you would never dream would become your worst enemies overnight hated you because of the blood that flowed through your veins. And they felt justified because it was that dark in Europe. So you see, Satan is once again trying to create that climate in the earth. He has to create it because God has put a certain goodness in the heart of man. And Satan has taken a long time in bringing down the quality and the caliber of the goodness in man's heart to accept the outrageousness of his ways, Satan's ways, so that when he sent forth his powerhouse, the world would buy it. The world would accept it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he's working behind the scenes, and he's considered a man of great intellect, great knowledge, great wisdom, a man of great power, a man of great authority, but the world by and large doesn't know who he is. Only the rulers that he's working with right now really know who this man is. But he's preparing the way for his appearing. So hearts will continue to grow harder and harder unless God intervenes. The second, and when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, and another horse came out, flaming red, and its rider was empowered to take peace from the earth, so that men slaughtered one another, and he was given a huge sword. Now, as I shared with you before, we saw this horse in connection with Tiananmen Square. Wherever you see war break out anywhere, this horse has to preface it. He is the horse that is given the power to take peace from the earth. He does not bring war. He takes peace from the earth, and men go about doing what men will do. So there is a presence of God that constitutes certain things in the earth. And one of those things that his presence will constitute in a given place is peace. He is peace. And when he establishes peace, peace must reign. So here we have this red horse, and he has been given the power to remove peace from a certain place in the earth. So whenever you see war, you know the red horse has been there. Whenever you see persecution of the Jewish people or the saints, you know the red horse has been there. He is not brand new. He's not something that is going to come forth in these last days, never having visited the earth before. I've seen him with my own eyes. I know that he's been here before. And he's been again and again and again. But in these last days, as I shared before, he will bring together the ecclesiastical and geopolitical powers that will culminate in the persecution of Jew and Gentile, and will bring about many wars, but mostly those wars in the Middle East that will bring about the terror of the nations, so that Satan can supposedly, through this Antichrist, bring peace. Third, it says, and he broke open the third seal, and I heard the third living creature call out, come and look. And I saw and behold a black horse, and in his hand the rider had a pair of scales. And I heard what seemed to be a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat, just a minute, let me get my glasses on. A quart of wheat for a denarius, that is a whole day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, when I saw this guy the first time, I was actually sitting at home doing a long-distance radio broadcast. We had just got everything ready to go. I was doing a broadcast with a couple of pastors up in Portland, Oregon. And the angel of the Lord just suddenly was there. And the minute he appeared in my room, everything went crazy at the radio station. When I say crazy, everything crashed. The power of God hit the radio station and everything went out. The phone service between Portland and me also went out. Everything crashed because of the power of that being that entered into my room. Well, now all interruptions were taken care of so he could talk to me. And he waved his hand in the air like this, and when he did, the sphere of the Spirit was opened up to me, and I saw this horse, the black horse, and its rider. And the angel gave me some specific instruction regarding this guy. It says, a quart of wheat for a denarius, it is a whole day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. The wheat speaks of the word of God. Barley speaks of prayer. Now, where do you see the word of God and prayer being sold? Pardon me? The Catholic Church. And there was a time in history when the only way you could get any linkage to the Word of God or prayer was through a Catholic priest, and you had to pay for it. So we see that we have seen this horse before. And he is instrumental in the work of the Catholic Church. I can remember one of my colleagues in one of our prayer times. He had a very powerful vision of a black horse jumping from Rome to America. And I bet he never thought at the moment about the black horse of Revelation, and how intricately involved this horse is with the goings-on of the Catholic Church. I shared with you, when I talked to you about the red horse, how in pulling the ecclesiasticals and the geopolitical powers together, they're creating, recreating the broken city of Babylon, and how the angel of the Lord appeared, talked to a prophet, a friend of mine, when there were 3 of us in the room. 2 of us did not see or hear him, but the 3rd one did. And the one who did is an incredible man in God. Anyway, he shared with him all about the coming new religion and one world government. And I shared that with you the last time we got together. So we have CDs that will be available soon on the message of the white horse and the red horse. You can get them and listen to them, so I don't have to go completely over them tonight. But the newly formulated Catholic Church will once again arise, and they will sell the word and they will sell prayer, so that a person will think that the only way that they can hear the word is to, what do they call that? They call it, there's a name that they gave it. What? Yeah, like condolences. Indulgence. Yeah, maybe a little of both. You're paying for the right to hear a word that you're not even going to understand when you hear it. And you're paying for the right for a priest to pray for you, because you can't pray to God anymore. The priesthood of the believer is not valid. And if you're caught praying, caught reading the word, caught praying, you will be killed. You will suffer persecution such as Daniel of old suffered it. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego suffered it. John the Beloved suffered it. You know, we can go through history and pull out the saints that suffered for the right of knowing the word and the right of prayer. Why was Daniel persecuted? Why? For praying, exercising the priesthood of the believer. And it will happen again. You will not be able to pray and have anyone know it. And believe me, they'll have ways of watching you every breathing moment in the days ahead. You will not be able to pray that it will not cost your life. But you can go and buy prayer. That they will let you do. You can go and buy the word that they want you to hear. That you will be able to do. But you will not have the true word of God, and you will not have the privilege of prayer. Isn't this wonderful, this horse? The oil speaks of the life of the Spirit and revelation. You might want to write this down, because this is your future. The oil is the life of the Spirit and revelation. The wine represents the spirit of stimulation. And it says a quart of wheat for three quarts, or for three, a quart of wheat for a denarius, that is a whole day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. But what does it say? Do not harm the oil and the wine. So although this is going to be true, you cannot pray. If it is discovered, you will die. If you do not go to the priest and let him do your praying for you, if you do not go to the priest and pay for the word, again, you're in trouble. But God will not let Satan touch the spirit and revelation in the believer. God will speak to the believer through the spirit of revelation. You may not be able to pull out a Bible and read it in those days, but he will speak to your heart in the spirit of revelation so that you can understand what you need to understand to walk in those days. He will also not allow the spirit of stimulation to be stopped or to be hindered. And that is represented in the wine. Now, let me help you understand a little bit about the spirit of stimulation. You need the spirit of stimulation to help you appropriate the revelation. Without the spirit of stimulation, you cannot appropriate the revelation. In other words, you can hear the revelation, but it takes the stimulation of the Spirit of God to enable your soul and your spirit to rise to the revelation and enter into the life of it. So I could share, for instance, on the life of union, and I could share it with 10,000 people in a congregation. But if only 4 or 5 have prepared themselves to work in conjunction with the spirit of stimulation, then all 10,000 save 4 or 5 will not be benefited by the teaching. It takes this part of God, the spirit of stimulation, to enable the believer to appropriate the revelation that they hear and receive. So when God says, "Do not touch the oil and the wine," he is reserving those two aspects of his very self for the believer to help you overcome the darkness that is attempting to suppress you. Now, isn't this exciting? These very difficult days, this is the spiritual aspect of the meaning of these two verses. In the natural, the price of wheat and barley are going to skyrocket. The Lord spoke to me in a vision, I don't know, years ago, and he said, first the economy, then the grain crib. And what he was meaning by that is that we were going to have a very devastating downturn in the economy. Following that, there was going to be famine. The spiritual instrument of this famine will be the black horse, the coming or the release of the black horse. Will world famine happen by other means? Oh, very possibly. They certainly have the technology today in an instrument called harp to create famine worldwide right now. All they have to do is release their technology, do their little technology wizardry, and wherever it's pointed is affected. I'm sure all of you know about it. If you attended our gathering in this city back in October, we taught on it. So it's a very serious form of warfare. And I'm sure in the days ahead, they will be using it to affect famine because they want the population brought way down into something that they can handle. What they want to set up is an elite order served by serfs. You know what I mean by that? Serfs. It's called a feudal society, where you have the elite and everyone else is servant or slave. Well, I mean, the elite only needs so many servants or slaves, right? They don't need billions of servants and slaves. They only need a few. And they don't want to have to feed billions. They want to feed only a few. So they will destroy the food supply, so that there will be mass deaths across the earth. It's just another way of cleansing out the population. So will it be caused in the natural? Probably. Of course, we've had times of great famine that has touched the whole earth in the past, many times, where the whole earth falls into famine. And we see even in the Bible times that God has proclaimed famine upon certain areas. So we don't need things like this modern technology, but that doesn't mean that it will not be used. But this black horse will, in the natural, that will be his job, is to release this terrible calamity upon the earth. He is working to bring great suffering to mankind, great affliction to mankind. That's what he will release on the earth. But God, in the Spirit, is going to preserve his church through the spirit of revelation and the spirit of stimulation. He will cause you to rise up and be what you cannot be. I don't know how to tell you how important this is. I've walked with the Lord many years, and I have sought high places for many years. I have sacrificed much to learn of these high places, to have my soul brought down to a place where it can be ruled by my spirit so that I can live in these high places. I've sought it for many, many years, and I can tell you that if the Spirit of the Lord, for whatever reason, is not working with you through the spirit of stimulation at any given moment, you cannot go where you need to go. I can remember one time I was in prayer over this very issue, and he gave me a vision, and I saw a man, you know, the old underwater diving outfits that divers used to use, where they had these, you know, metal hoods hooked to hoses that would go up to the ships. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I saw a man, and he was dressed in one of those, and he was trying desperately to get up into the heavenlies. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't touch where he wanted to go. He was just left out there like an astronaut in outer space. And I said, "Lord, what are you showing me?" And he said, "It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit." Always remember that. It is the spirit of stimulation that helps you go where you want to go in God. Ask him for it, and then learn to work in conjunction with the presence of this spirit in your life. First, you want the revelation of where you want to go, where you need to go, and how to get there. Then you need the help of God to get where he is leading you. Amen? One thing about the kingdom of God, you can't do it in your flesh. You can't do it in your soul. You really need God's help all the way. You've got to do your part. We've got to double yoke ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We can't stand back and say, "God's got to do it all," because that's a fool's dream. Amen? We have to discipline ourselves by the disciplines of the Word. But if we will do our part, God will more than do his part. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need, he has provided. And he'll deny us of nothing if we're serious about obtaining the revelations and appropriating the value of those revelations into our life. So in a day when the world is falling apart in the seams, God wants to have his church knitly fit together by his Spirit, moving in realms that only he can bring us into. These are going to be very challenging days ahead, and we're not far away from them, really. The only thing that is going to keep us from plunging right into them immediately is God is saying it's not quite time. We do still have some things that have to come to pass, and one of those things is the erection of the temple in Jerusalem. That has to be erected. So, praise the Lord. God is working. Satan is working. God will win. The saints will rejoice. Many will be saved in these days. And the church will be so glorious. Moving as one man across the earth. In the light of his wisdom, in the light of his glory. I want to say something to you. This is coming into my heart very strong right now. This is a time to press forward in God. Can Satan hinder or slow down your pace? Yes, he can. But if God is allowing it, it's because he's developing something in you that must be developed for down the road. Ultimately, Satan cannot stop you. You are the only one that can give it up. You must yield it up to lose what God wants to do in your future. We are walking right into days that are incredible, unbelievable. Unbelievable in glory, unbelievable in darkness. Where you sit with God today or stand with God today will not carry you through those days. That's the truth. Because that is true, you must do everything in your human power to prepare for the days ahead. You must. You cannot sit idly by thinking, well, this is one of the visions that God gave me. This is the heart of the church. In this vision, I was traveling. I was running around in subdivision after subdivision trying to get Christians to come away and go deep in God. And all they would say at house after house, we're Christians. God is not going to let anything evil happen to us. He answers our prayers. We prayed for this new house, and he gave it to us. We prayed for that car, and he gave it to us. We prayed for children, and he gave us children. God loves us. We're his children. He hears our prayers, and he will not allow any difficulties to overtake us like you were speaking about. And I would cry to them, please, you don't know what's coming. This thing is so great. This evil is so great. You must prepare. Come out of the world and go deep in God. And they'd say to us, don't worry. God loves us. We are his children. He's not going to let anything happen to us. And they would shut the door. Finally, I went walking along the beach, and my heart was breaking. I was crying. I said, Lord, your church won't listen to me. I can't get anyone in the church to listen to me. The days are going to be so dark. It's going to be so horrible. You've shown me, Lord, but I can't get anyone to leave the world and come deep in you. They won't listen. They think you're going to take care of them because they're your children. And you won't let any of that darkness hurt them. And I'm crying. As I'm walking along the beach, one of the couples that I had knocked on their door much earlier, said, "Hey, Nita, look at us." And they were up in the air flying one of those, like, kites, you know, that you fly on the wind. I don't know what they're called. Yeah, like that. "Look at us, Nita. See, God will take care of us." And I looked away from them, and then I heard it. I heard the roar. And I heard a black wave suddenly come jetting up out of the ocean. That wave was so black, it was terrifying. It came rocketing, jetting straight up out of the ocean. It was mammoth. I went, "Oh, it's here." And I looked up at that couple, and I knew they were going to be the first people hit when that tidal wave came up over the beach. I went running, screaming to the top of my lungs, "What I tried to tell you about is here. It's here. Please run for your life." And no one would listen. Indeed, no one could hear me over the noise of that tidal wave. You can't be ignorant today. We're getting too close to the darkness. The tidal wave is soon to arise. Your only hope is refuge in God. You must come out of the world and the ways of the world. You absolutely must. And if you have children and loved ones, you need to do everything in your power to bring your loved ones out of the ways of the world and deep into God. Because the days will come when if you don't heed the warning and the wave arises, it will fall on you. And you will be crushed. God is merciful, and He's a loving God. And He will help you to prepare if you will make a covenant with Him to leave the world behind, to open that Bible and learn what it means to walk with God in purity and in truth. He will make sure you're protected when the wave overtakes. Amen. Jesus. This would be a perfect time to just kneel down at your chairs and plead with God to become all in all, to repent of your wars with Him. To ask Him to forgive you your times of apathy. Cry out to Him to give you the strength to pull into Him, the grace to overcome your flesh. Cry out to him. While he is near, while he is near, while he is near, it's not a small thing to desire you, God. It's not a small thing. It is a great thing. All of heaven redounds with glory. With one voice they sing and they worship you with great praise over those who earnestly seek your face. It is a great thing to desire God. Give grace tonight, Lord. Give grace to hunger for you. Give grace to the heart, Lord, to pull away from the titillating powers of the world and to run to you, Lord. Greatness lays in the bosom of God. Give grace. Give grace. Give grace. Give grace. Grace to overcome, Lord. Grace to overcome. Give grace. Let us not be fooled. The enemy seeks to lull the church asleep. Help us to have the wisdom to number our days, Lord, and to arise above the darkness. To overcome by the grace of our God. The call of the overcomer has been released from your throne, Lord. Grace to overcome. Grace to be more than we can be. Help us to run, Lord. Run from the world. Run from the entertainment of the world. Run from the ways of the world. Help us to run. Fling away every distraction, every encumbrance, every yoke. Fling it away. And run into God. Thank you. It is not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit we prevail. By your Spirit we are made holy. By your Spirit we overcome. Oh God! Grant us the very powers of your throne to overcome in this life, to bring you glory and honor. To put our enemy underfoot, Lord, to the glory of the Son. No more world, only God. Grace to love you only. Grace to love you supremely. You are the one and only true God.